for joining us for today's episode of the Morning Wake Up Podcast, live from Advertising Week New York 2024 and brought to you by Kantar and Reddit. Today is Tuesday, October the 8th, the second day of Advertising Week and arguably the busiest, or at least it is in my experience. Here today to discuss the trends, topics, and insights that we're going to be seeing this week, especially today, is Kantar's Nicole Jones. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you very much.
So how's Advertising Week been treating you?
I'm excited. So I unfortunately couldn't attend yesterday, but really looking forward to today and especially tomorrow as I'll be speaking tomorrow.
Excellent. Well, what's your session tomorrow?
So my session tomorrow is actually with Ryan Rendell from Reddit, and we're going to really be talking about unlocking business growth. So really that mastering brand love and performance advertising.
Excellent. Oh, looking forward to that. I'll have to sneak out. They don't let me out of this box too much, but I'll sneak out and come see that. So as I said earlier, you know, there's lots to go over, but I wonder if we couldn't start by recapping a little bit from yesterday, specifically the talk around artificial intelligence. AI has been front and center for a couple of years now. I think that's an understatement. And it's still, I mean, it's in every conversation here. I haven't been to a panel yet where it wasn't brought up at least once. And these can be completely what feel like unrelated panels, like everybody talks about it anyway. From Kantar's findings, and I know you've done a lot of research in these areas, what are you finding is the general sense toward AI in 2024? And I think as important and as interesting, how are people really using it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, one of the fascinating things is lots of talk about Gen AI. And what we're seeing in our Kantar Media Reactions study is that there's really kind of these mixed attitudes. So we see that 62% of consumers and about 68% of marketers are positive about Gen AI more broadly, but the same feeling doesn't really extend to AI-generated advertising.
Really? Is there like a, so it's sort of a bias?
Yeah, I think so. And I think also it's new, right? So people have to get used to it, have to really understand what's happening there. And I think now as we're seeing more prominence of advertising having that label on it about it being Gen AI created, I think we'll see probably that start to have more people be more comfortable about it.
So it's, do you think it's a discomfort or like a cynicism or both? Or is it, I mean, to me, I think we had a lot of creatives in the industry very early on worried about losing their jobs. And then maybe over time, we've had a lot of creatives learning how to utilize AI as a tool and figuring out, oh, this is a really great way of, you know, I don't know, repeating the great looking frog I created already, you know, 900 times. Do you feel that there's a sort of an acceptance factor coming that we just haven't seen yet that, and what might lead to that, do you think?
Yeah, so I think with anything new, there's always sort of that bit of trepidation. But I, you know, it's one of those things. I think if you think about the way that generations are using AI, and I think that's the part that's really fascinating. So we see Gen Z and millennials are really asking about financial or investing advice. So something they might not necessarily be familiar with. And then they're also asking their employers to invest more in AI. And I think that's fascinating because it does see, or rather prove, that there is sort of this, you know, trying to make people's lives a bit more easier. However, kind of on the inverse of that, you do see some kind of discrimination factors. And I think that's one of the things that's really important that we want to make sure we're keeping an eye on. So we see about 40% of Black Americans felt that was discriminating against them. So I think, you know, there's this balance of we want to make sure that AI is, you know, proper for everyone that's entailed.
It is interesting, though, that there are people asking it for financial advice because that implies trust.
Yes.
You know, whereas we don't trust it to make a very, you know, great artistic statement. We trust it with money. That's fascinating, really, when you think about it.
Yeah, we trust it with money, but also we're trusted for things for our everyday lives to make it a little bit easier. So travel's another one that we're seeing come up quite frequently. So it's just sort of this convenience factor. So you might not know that information. Where's a way to find a little bit more of that information?
You mentioned Gen Z. Is that, I mean, I always think that, you know, younger generations are probably a little bit more, you know, easy adopting to some of this stuff. Is it a wide gap in your findings, or is it just kind of the same across the board?
No, I think it's sort of, you see the specific generations looking at kind of So we touched on financial and investing advice. You don't necessarily see the older generations because they have been doing that for quite a bit of time now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're well versed in it. So I think this is where you're seeing kind of that sort of generation skew. But I think one of the things that's really fascinating, and the election's just around the corner, and I think this is where it will be really interesting. So we see about 3/4 of Americans say that they're skeptical about the accuracy of news and information presented in the media due to that AI. So I think those are the things that will become really important in the next month.
I'm still, but we trust it with money. I can't. Yeah, I'm stuck on that. I gotta find out more about that. I'm actually going to go ask it for financial advice. I'm curious to see what it tells me. You know, fast forwarding a little bit to today. So we're going to have, you know, quite a few themes are going to be taking place on the floor here, you know, just throughout Tuesday. One of them, connected TV and, you know, cross-platform, the idea of, you know, it used to be second screen, now it's multi-screen, now it's just cross-platform because, let's face it, two screens was definitely not enough. In terms of what you're looking at over at Kantar and what you're sort of monitoring and what you're researching, what on the media side are you finding is most interesting when it comes to things like online spend?
Yeah, so I think the thing that's really important about everything sort of balanced in that online spend is that no matter where you're spending those dollars, you need to make sure that attention is key. Mm-hmm. Because marketers really need to make sure that consumers are seeing things or kind of everything is for naught. And when we take a look at CTV, what we've really seen is that those integrated campaigns that are running in tandem with other digital formats are really the most successful. And not only that, but it just allows us reach to relevant audiences. And then also, you know, we talked about Gen Z. So Gen Zs and millennials are both more prevalent on CTV. So it's a better way to sort of target them and speak with them.
I was talking to a gentleman, I want to say it was yesterday, possibly the day before. And he was talking about how YouTube is, you know, really being viewed on regular televisions. And so it sort of speaks to that blurred line between, you know, programming is programming. What we watch on a screen is what we watch on a screen. It doesn't matter what that programming is at this point. It doesn't matter how it's delivered to us. It doesn't matter what size the screen is. Yet we're still in marketing sort of pigeonholing that a little bit for whatever reason. And I'm not sure if it's because, you know, there's all these different platforms or what have you. But when you look at that increased spend, are they still dividing it in that manner? I mean, are they still saying online video, TV streaming, you know, social media stories, video streaming, or is it more of a group thing? I understand you have to target, but at the same time, you know, really, what is the platform at this point?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great question. So what we see is that next year we're seeing marketers are really going to be spending more online. So online video, TV streaming, influencer content, those media stories you talked about, as well as video streaming. However, I think the thing we need to really consider is that with more tech really equals more media options, but then it's that attention. So you talked about, you know, viewing YouTube on your phone, but also you might have something on the TV. So there's lots of distractions going on, and it's really about sort of that attention. The other thing that I think is really important is if we think about ads being on a multitude of different channels. So the analogy I like to use is sort of this matched luggage set. So you need to make sure that you're having this common thread that's going through each of those advertising, because whether you're seeing it on your actual TV or your phone or your laptop, you know, you need to have sort of that frequency. And unfortunately, one of the things that we're seeing right now is that advertisers' confidence in tailoring that content is declining. So it was about 61% 2 years ago, and today it's 54%.
Do you have any notion as to what that could be attributed to?
Decline? Yeah, I mean, I think it's just media fragmentation.
Really?
There's so much going on that I think sometimes it's now, you know, you might have had, you know, the 5 key channels that you were creating for. And now you're creating for a multitude of channels. I was talking with someone the other day and we were talking about retail media networks. Retail media networks, everyone's becoming a retail media network, whether that is airlines, ride shares, you know, it's really prevalent.
Yeah, no, that's very true. When it comes to, you know, anything sort of new and different that maybe we haven't really adopted yet, do you think there's anything that might be announced today that, you know, we haven't seen or heard of before? Or is there anything you're kind of looking on the horizon and excited about? Or
yeah, I mean, I wish I knew it was the next thing, but it's surprising, I think, sometimes. You know, we take a look at traditional channels and it's really about just sort of refreshing them and sometimes too, and then that becomes a new channel. So I think, you know, at the end of the day, it's really about making sure that you're predisposing people, because we see in our data that predisposition leads to 9 times the volume share, it commands 2 times the price, and it has 4 times the likelihood to grow value of share. But it's really about achieving that through all the different touch points and those interactions that brands have with consumers. And that really means understanding that media landscape, and that's really the cornerstone to that journey. So how are you going to be planning, and sort of on what channels?
Excellent. Well, moving over to brands and growth on that note, because really, that's what we're doing all this for. Elevating brand region voice will be another key theme for Tuesday. When it comes to brands that really are attractive to consumers, and you know, I think a lot of us sort of gravitate to the same ones over and over again, but I think there's been a lot of newer brands that have really done things right. People, consumers will pay for things when it comes to these brands that, you know, can really position themselves. And I don't ever want to call it the luxury market, because that's not really what it is. But it's almost kind of like this, I don't know what the word is. It's the nice to have market, if you will. You know, Apple isn't a luxury item, but it's a nice to have item. You know, it's certainly, I don't know, better than, you know, the computer I have in my bag over there. But, you know, push come to shove, what is driving those brands these days in 2024? Because that, you know, really the goalpost there does keep changing as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think one of the things with that is that it's the sort of want versus need. There's so many things that are really out there. And, you know, one of the things that we at Kantar had done was just this idea of you need to elevate that brand voice. You need to elevate that share. And what we did is we did this huge analysis on billions of data points, both attitudinal and behavioral. And we really came up with this framework for Blueprint for Brand Growth. And at the core of it, it's about being meaningful and different. So to your, yes, if you want that Apple, it's really, we see that it's brands with that highly meaningful difference are so much more attractive to people. So they are willing to pay twice as much for that. They grow 3 times as fast, and when they increase their salience. So it's all about making people aware of all of these brands.
It feels like every brand would want to shoot for this naturally then, because you're going to grow that much faster and you can charge that much more.
Yeah, no, Apple's absolutely. And, you know, the interesting part of this is we spoke about sort of that predisposition. So you really want to make sure that you're predisposing, but it's also about being present. So brands that are always present attract 7 times more buyers compared to those that are just one half of buying occasions. And this is why it's not good to go dark. So we did some research a couple of years ago and we called it, you know, to be afraid of the dark, and it's for a very good reason. So you need to be present, or else you're just going to be sort of out of the mindset of consumers.
And that being present, that is presumably in a very omni-channel world then.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're talking social, you're talking, hey, we're even on broadcast TV, but you know, we're also YouTube. We're probably still display ads here and there where those are still sold.
It all works together.
Yeah.
You know, back to my matched luggage, you know, it's all those different components, you know, really make that set and is make it that much more impactful.
No, it's interesting stuff. And in terms of, you know, maybe new spaces within that, is there anything sort of, well, I don't know, new and different for 2024 that, you know, advertisers are, you know, that you're noticing that advertisers are getting into? I don't know. I mean, it could just be new stuff that I haven't thought about. I mean, we keep hearing about all these different spaces, you know, AR, VR, things like that. But as a dabbler in those spaces, I'm not seeing a whole lot of ads. You see them, but you don't see like a lot of stuff you've really ever heard of, put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen this huge rise of the retail media networks and really understanding what those are. So, you know, is it advertising when you're sitting down on the plane and it's about to start? Or is it when you're filling up your gas? You know, one of the things I always laugh about is, so I live in New Jersey. It's one of the only 2 states in the U.S. that you don't have to pump your own gas. So that advertising is sort of, those dollars are being wasted on me. But as you're standing there at the gas pump, you know, that is advertising that is going to you, you know, directly. And not only that, when you're in convenience stores, there's lots of advertising that's being targeted that you don't necessarily think about.
Is the other one Oregon that you're thinking of?
The other one is Oregon.
Oregon was changed.
So Oregon, you can either pump your own gas or they will do it for you. And it's the same price. So, I mean, yeah. Which one do you choose?
You pump your own. But like literally the next day, they installed video screens into all the gas pumps.
Yeah.
And it's 24/7 commercials. I mean, mm-hmm. It's great.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely.
I mean, you know, you used to be, you know, what are you going to do? Sit there and watch the little numbers tick by?
Yeah.
No, it's an amazing place to be. Moving on, the other thing that, you know, naturally comes up in all of these is, as marketers, we're always looking at generations. Right now, we're very Gen Z. By next year, we're going to be talking more and more about Gen Alpha for sure. There's a little bit of it here, but right now, it's still Gen Z. Gen Z really loves storytelling. And I think that's something that I think a few of us probably predicted. I'm not even a marketer, and I kind of saw that coming, but it helps that, you know, I have a Gen Z at home. But one of the things that I think is most interesting is their love of the arts, specifically music. What kind of research has Kantar done there?
So it's fascinating. So we see with a lot of the other generations, humor is really the key driver, but music absolutely is the key driver with Gen Z. I think this generation is just so used to making videos with music. There's so much sort of exposure. So whether that is their playlists on Spotify or Apple Music, I think they just have so much more access to music, and it's so much more sort of impactful to them. And it's really about that idea of like those short form videos. It gets their attention. And I think at the end of the day, people want to be entertained. And so I think for brands, it's really about finding those clever ways to incorporate brands and really bring consumers along on that journey. So whether that is with music or just finding other ways.
Anything else that you've seen with Gen Z that you think is noteworthy?
So I think with the Gen Z, so I have two Gen Zers as well, and I just think the way that they're consuming media is fascinating. You know, it is very fast, and they're kind of going through things, but they're retaining so much information. And I think also they just get so much exposure to brands. So if we think about, you know, small brands, it's just such an outlet for these small brands to really grow because they might not necessarily have been exposed, but these Gen Zs are seeing, you know, videos, whether that's Get Ready With Me, where they're seeing these products and then they're wanting to go out and try them.
I thought for sure you were going to say they're, well, you know, they're consuming these things after midnight, long after they were supposed to be charging their phones and be fast asleep. I know that is one way of consumption for sure for Gen Z.
Yes, absolutely.
I know this firsthand. Nicole, anything else that you're looking to see today that you think would be good for people to check out?
Yeah, so I mean, I think for, you know, me, it's really just about, there's so many different sessions. And so whether that is something that you have an interest in, or maybe it's something that you haven't necessarily thought a lot about. I think Ad Week is a perfect, you know, opportunity to get as much exposure on, you know, all those different things that may be out there that you may not have been exposed to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's, you know, I always try and tell people, go to the thing you didn't think you would ever want to be into.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know, I still go back to, and everybody I know at Advertising Week that, you know, has ever asked me, hey, what's your favorite session? Hates the story, because I tell everybody this story. My favorite session ever was in Europe. It was a storytelling session presented by a gentleman from Microsoft that, you know, I thought, what do I need to know this for? But I sat down, he told me a story, and it was the best story I was ever told. So, you know, to me, it was life-changing. You know, maybe for others, it wasn't so much, but, you know, that's the beauty of it. You know, you never know what you're going to find. Nicole, I appreciate you taking the time to be on today. This was a wonderful experience, and thanks so much for your insights.
Yeah, thank you.